At times it is hard to trust for that when you hear so much of the other side of the story being spoken around you. So it's all about what you let in and what you let entertain your heart and what you let in your mind and how your spirit just entertains those things. And the scripture is, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So it's easy to get anxious. It's easy to say, oh, is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? But to know and trust God and to pray about everything rather than being anxious and try to do it out of my own strength. Because, yeah, there are plenty of other people out there that have experience in the fire service. But with God, favor can just flow right through over those applications, over those tests, and he can make things happen. So this is a moment for me to really be able to, you know, practice that trust, step into that trust and pray without ceasing. So that's something, you know, I know we all have different things that are going in our lives, different struggles, different challenges, but when we put our focus in the right place, we can still experience a peace that's beyond all of our understanding, even in those moments. So as your situation is here, whatever it may be, you just don't forget, don't be so anxious about it that it takes over your mind. Don't put that thought above your thoughts of God. Make sure that your prayers and your relationship is above all, because if that moment, that issue gets bigger than God, it's bigger than God in your heart. And just, I encourage everybody to just continue into that. Take what you will from that and let the Lord just do what he will. And God, we just thank you so much that you have brought us to where we are today, God, that you have opened our hearts to you. You have opened our eyes and our ears. Lord, we just ask that they'll be opened even more, God, that there'll be a fresh revelation in today. God, that there will just be a new hunger, a new desire, God, a new focus that we can put on you, God. And Lord, not out of works, Lord, but just out of just straight desire, that our hearts will just be drawn to you. Lord, that our hearts will seek you above all else, above our strength, above our will. And God, that we can just be humble, obedient, and bold in our steps, God, knowing that you are God. And we just thank you so much. And God, we give you our hearts in this service and for the rest of our days. Lord, we just ask that you speak to us, that you reveal your goodness, God. Lord, that we hear your voice in a new way, and we offer our worship to you, God. We pray that it will be pleasing. And though our ears may not seem it sounds beautiful, God, we know that you think it's beautiful. So as we sing, God, as we lift our voice to you, let us not be ashamed of it, but let us praise you with our hearts. We thank you, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus.
David was talking, he said something that stood out to me. He said, when our problems are bigger than our relationship, or when our problems have taken up more of our time than our thoughts of God, we're telling God how big our problems are. Instead of telling our problems how big our God is. So as we worship this morning, church, if you guys would stand up, if you guys would just open your hearts to receive from God today. As we give, God pours out. So just position your heart before God right now in such a way that just brings honor to Him. And as we worship, let's just tell our God how big He is, how powerful He is. And as that happens, all those problems that once seemed so large, we realize how small they are, really.
Of deliverance, we've been liberated.
see so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me. Child of God.
Sing that again.
Oh, yes, I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love.
The blood of Jesus.
You rescued so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God.
take captive every thought.
Yes.
You are our focus today, every day to come. It's all about you. It's all about you, God. We have our hearts, we give it to you, God. We give it to you, God. No, it's protected. You have our best interests at heart. Because you love us.
Offering to him.
Have our hearts, God. Have our hearts. Have our hearts, God. Declare that this morning, you guys. You have our hearts, God. You have our hearts.
Yes,
we have our hearts, God. You have our hearts, God. Have our hearts, God.
You can have. You can have my heart. I trust you. You can have my heart. You can have my heart. I trust you. You can have my heart.
Sing that out, church.
Love. You rescued me
so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You can have my heart. You can have my heart. I trust in you. You can have my heart. You can have my heart. I trust you. You can have my heart. You can have my heart. I trust you. You can have my heart. You can have my heart. I trust you.
My defenses, they go down. When your presence comes around. Fences, they go down. When I know that you're around, I trust you. My defenses, they go down. When I know, when I know that you're around, my defenses, they go down. When I know that you're around, I trust you. You can have my heart, God. You can have my heart. I trust you. You can have my
many years ago, my husband and I worked in children's ministries, and he was actually a clown, a really good one, by the way. But he did a pantomime type of a thing with another clown, and there were no words spoken, just soft music was played in the background. And the pantomime went something like this. The clown that was smaller and more trusting had her heart in her hands. And she was just living life. And the big clown came up and wanted her heart. And she was really kind of weary about giving that to him. But finally she decided, okay, you know, he's asked enough. I'll give him my heart. So the clown gave the heart to the big clown. And he started playing with it. Splat. This happened a couple times. Because she trusted that clown. And finally, she didn't want to give that heart to him anymore. But God is not a clown. God will not play with our hearts. We can trust him. No matter how broken your heart is, no matter how messy your life may look, you can give him your heart with all assurance, knowing he will keep it safe. So when we sing the words, "You can have my heart," it's way easier to sing it than to mean it. And we're all really good at singing it so others don't think maybe that heart's really broken inside. But God knows. He doesn't look at that outward person that's singing, standing corporately in a church. He knows your heart. He sees it. So can we sing that one more time? And when we do, if we can trust him, if we try and trust him, he'll take the rest over. He'll help you. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief part. You know that little bit that's like, I want to give it to you. Help me with that last little part. He'll do it all. Just start and he'll help you.
Decision that's been made in somebody's life. It's been a decision that you've been thinking about for a while, that you've been planning out, and you just need to give it up to God right now, because what your plan is for this is for destruction, and his plan is for healing. Yes. His plan is for restoration. Yes. His plan is for hope.
Yes.
And for a glory.
Yes.
Greater than that which we've seen already.
Yes.
He's looking to do something better in us than we ever imagined. We just have to give him our hearts. Let's sing that again. You can have my heart. You can have my heart. I trust you. You can have my heart. You can have my heart, I trust you. You can have my heart. You can have my heart, I trust you.
We're singing very powerful words. Very powerful words. We are saying to our Creator that we trust Him. We trust Him, but are we trusting Him with everything? Are we hanging on to things because you think no one can take care of it like you can? The sense that I had is, lots and lots of burdens, lots of disappointments in our life, lots of anger and fear, and that doesn't equal trust. And I saw very tall mountains, very tall, almost impossible to climb mountains. And the Lord gave me the number 8. So there's 8 of us, and I'm one of them. There are 7 of you that are looking at a mountain that you think you cannot climb. And boy, are you right, because you cannot climb that mountain that is before you. But if you lay it all down, if you believe in what the words you're saying and singing, that mountain is but a tiny hill, a little knoll that you can climb over because the Lord is there. So if we're saying, Lord, you can have my heart, then you're saying, Lord, you can have my being. So Lord, I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you my all. I am letting go of my control. So any of you that are controlling and hanging on to whatever, and I hope there's 7 hands that are going to go up, put your hand up to the Lord and release and surrender all that you're holding on to. Because then you are truly giving the Lord your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you don't move from any mountain. You stay with us. You wait on us. Lord, you are the healer. You are the forgiver. You are our Creator. So this day, Lord, we surrender all. We surrender all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I surrender. Surrendering is not just a one-time thing. It's surrendering is what we do lots of times, just like forgiveness. It's not just a one-time thing for some things. You have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And you have to keep doing it. And my daughter, Valerie, is who led me and my husband and my family to this church. And he joined the military, and he was at boot camp. And I grew up military. I wasn't going to marry it. But the Lord waited for us to be married 17 years, and my husband joined up, and he was like, you know, babe, this is it. And then I used to suffer really bad migraines. I'd get them two or three times a week, two or three times a month. I never knew when it was going to happen. And I was a full-time mom, full-time student, and full-time employee, and suffering migraines. Well, I was working as a caregiver, and we had our very first encounter come along. Pastor Gaylene kept telling me I needed to be there, and I got mad at her. I told her to stop. I can't get off. I'm a caregiver. She needs me to be there. She called my work. I was so mad because I knew I needed to go. But I was fighting letting it go because this was my baggage. This was my pain. This was my journey. It wasn't her business. But I tell you what, that encounter, when I surrendered to God fully and completely, and He took every bit of pain and every bit of betrayal and every bit of ugliness from me, and He filled it with Him, and I surrendered to Him. I've not had another migraine, and that's been over 10 years. Then, to top that off, my husband got deployed, his first deployment. And I was mad. I was mad at him for joining the military. And then I was mad because he's going to be away from me in a foreign country where they're trying to kill us for a year and a half. And in this building, those back there, God made me surrender by telling me he's mine and I'll bring him back to you. But you need to surrender him, because you can't serve me if you're going to hang on to him and not let me use him for what I need him for. So sometimes it's not just surrendering our hearts. It's surrendering a person. It's surrendering a thing. It's surrendering a mindset. But it's just giving it to him and saying, it's yours. And I now have a son who's a prodigal, but I've surrendered him. Because I can't do anything. I have to promise and trust that God's word will not return void in my son, because he promised it when I gave him my heart and when I gave him my children. So surrender is not just something we do one time. It's something that we have to do several times. Maybe several times a day. Maybe several times a month. Maybe 100 times in our life. But God is always faithful to fill us and to bless us and to calm us and to soothe us when we surrender to him. He is our ultimate. He will not betray us.
Place. To share that a little bit of what the Lord has been doing with my heart. I've been in a really dark place for a long time, and I've built up a lot of safety barriers and high walls. Each one of them something, you know, to protect me from my fear, my anger, you know, anything else that comes along with all of that commitment, being let down, abandoned, that kind of stuff. And this song, the songs today are just absolutely amazing. They're like so right on the nail for how things are for me right now. Like, he's totally been opening up the seas for me and helping me slowly walk through the waters of being in this darkness for so long. And even to trust God is just so scary. And I'm like, I can't do that. This is too big, God. I can't let this go. You know, I can't get through this. And he's like, no, you can, you know, just put it down. Just give it to me. Just put it in my hands. And one thing at a time, I'll give it to him. And a little bit of light shines through the dark. And a little bit more light shining through the dark. And now, one of my biggest prayers that I've been praying for so long. And I'm like, oh my God, you're amazing. Like, his promises are so real. Like, he does not lie. Like, I can't even comprehend. Like, he says something and I'm just like, okay. And I don't really, and then he shows me, and this happens, and it's like, wow. I had no idea. Like, now my husband's here with me in church. Our family's being renewed and repaired. And I just wanted to say, like, thank you, God. Thank you so much, God. Like, I give all the praise to you, God. Because without you, there would be no way that any of this would even be possible, fathomable at all. Because I am not capable. without him. And I just wanted to give all the praise to God. And thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, your love never fails, never gives up. You never run out on us. Speaking of him running out on us, I was thinking of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And just the few hours before he was going to face the treacherous, the incomprehensible pain of the cross. Not only the cross, the physical bearing that, but the carrying the weight of all of mankind's sins, everything that they were ever going to commit it on himself, becoming every sinful man on the cross for us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "No, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. Father, let your will be done. Let your people be restored back to a place of sonship and daughtership with you. Let your people be restored back to a place of love, a place of love where they can receive the love of the Father, where they can be transformed and changed into your likeness, Father. Let your will be done." I know I'm adding, but that was the heart of Jesus. It says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame." And we were his joy. Not just so that he could possess us, because he does possess us, but so that that possession could allow us to have restoration. Restoration. To be restored back to a place in good standing with the Father. And we're getting ready to take family communion. And this is a representation, yes, of what he did on the cross, but it's also a supernatural, spiritual entrance into the power of that moment. The power of what it means to be a son and a daughter. The power of what it means to be restored back to the Father. The power of the blood purifying and cleansing and washing every sickness and disease and thing that we've done, purifying us wholly. His body being broken so that we could be one with the Father, one in the Spirit with each other and with the Lord. A lot of powerful things represented but also released in this communion time. So today when you come up, and I think we'll just have you play a little bit, Glenn, is that okay? When you come up as a families, as the main family, let's take and remember that it's not just we're remembering, but we're also releasing the power that's in this communion table. And enjoy what's released in you. Enjoy the fact that for that treacherous thing that was set before him, he was able to find joy in afterwards. So let's joy with him today. Let's as we take communion, yes, we can be grateful and we can be respectful, but let's realize that God is rejoicing. The Father is rejoicing. His children are restored. Jesus' brothers and sisters are restored. His bride is being prepared. All the pictures and the types and shadows of who we are in God. So, Father, we thank you for sending Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice, the only sacrifice necessary anymore. And Lord, we choose today to receive the life that's in the blood and the body of Christ. As we take the emblems, Lord, I just pray that you would release in our beings, Lord, the power of your life, the power of resurrection, power of the Holy Spirit in us. Transform, Lord, our DNA. Transform, Lord, our blood. Transform our entire bodies to be in your image. Transform our souls, our mind, will, and emotions, God, to be healed from all the scars and wounds of the past. our conscious and subconscious, parts of us we don't even know, Lord, wash it with the blood today. And even our spirit, Lord, let our spirit rejoice in the God of our salvation as we remember and as we take and receive the communion table. Let's go ahead and partake. Alveen has something to share.
Dun-dun-dun. So, how many people here would like to be blessed? Raise your hand if you want to be blessed. Okay, good. We have a conference coming up called the Women's Conference. It's called Them. And Rick, go ahead and stand up. Anybody that wants to pre-register needs to register today. And if you want to do that, Rick will come and hand you an envelope. So raise your hand if you want an envelope right now. And so while he's doing that, I'm going to pass a sheet around to sign up. Now, we as a church want to own this conference, not just the women, but we also want the men involved in this, because when women are blessed, the men will be blessed, let me tell you. So the sign-up sheet has gone around last week and you signed up, but we still have quite a few spots. So I'm saying if you only signed up for one thing, we would love if you could sign up for something else. If you're not able to come, you still give into this ministry. It's still our church, even if you're not able to come. If you're not able to make something or make a tray and you want to give cash, I wrote cash at the bottom. Feel free to write cash down. You can give it to me after church, give it to me, and I'll go buy this stuff on Wednesday. So if you have cash today, it would be great. If you can't do it until Wednesday, I'm going after work to buy this stuff. So we're hoping to get most of this done. We don't want it to be a hardship on the church, because we are the church. So let's work together and get this signed up, if that's okay. Okay? So, men, I'm not leaving you out. Please, if you can sign up on this sheet, I want you to sign up too, okay? It's not just the women. The conference is just for the women. Sorry about that. But you'll be blessed when we're blessed, okay? So thank you for your time. Oh, and if you're signing up and you can't bring it to the church and drop it off, just call us. We'll come get it, okay?
Will the children come up, please? The child has come. Oh, the children are coming. Behold. Behold. There is more. But wait, there's more. That's good. But wait, there's more. Coming out of the woodwork. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for these awesome children's and their hearts, and let their hearts be open to receive as you lead them and guide them. And we just pray a release over them, just for them to have an awesome time and to do it in your name, to recognize you in their lives and all that you are and all that you do. And let us learn off of them as well, Father. Let us see with childlike vision or hearts, Father, the work you're doing in them, and that we would help to nurture that as well outside of this church. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So are we on? Oh, good. I'm sure. Nice. I was, do you ever like get in your Bible and you just start like going to all kinds of different places? In your Bible, you start looking at, you know, especially with technology nowadays, you can like go to one verse and you think you're following, you know, a certain subject. Next thing you know, you're way over here. You're getting some new revelation, but you're going like, this has nothing to do with what I was looking at, you know. But I say that, all that to say this, is that I think I have a scripture that I want to share, but I think I want to just go ahead and take a moment and just listen to what the Father may say, what the Lord may be saying, Spirit saying. So, Lord, we just come before your throne of grace right now. And we know that each one of our lives, Lord, is so important to you. We know, Lord, that even though we can hear one message that you can speak to each one of us so individually, so purposefully, through words that one person may get another way. And so, Father, I want what you want to be said here today, whether it be me or even someone else. Lord, we want to hear your voice. It says that anyone who speaks, let them speak as the oracle of God. That's the voice of God. So, Father, we want your voice to be heard here today. We don't want to just speak so we hear ourselves in our own ears, Lord. We want to speak so that the word of God is released. We want to speak in such a way, Lord, that you can activate that word in our lives and help bring transformation and change. God, we know you're doing a work of restoration right now in your people. And it's funny because when we come to Jesus, we think we're restored. We think we're all good because we've come out of sin and into the light of the glorious gospel. But Lord, we know that it's a process of transformation. And as we were singing today, Lord, we give you our hearts. We surrender. Lord, let this message help bring even a greater catalyst to that work in our lives. I just pray for every ear to be open, not just physical ears, but spiritual ears. Lord, that our senses would be heightened spiritually to be able to receive into our hearts. And Lord, I just release your word in anyone else here today. Remove fear, remove anxiety, remove anxiousness, and just let them rest in you. Even if you speak it personally to their heart, Lord, just to them or to their family later on, I pray that there'd be a boldness to speak. We just thank you for this in our Lord and Savior's mighty name, in Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 32. Last week I was sharing on restoration and how God restores lives. And sometimes, you know, it can be a process. It'd be nice if we were just like completely fixed, wouldn't it be? Like we're all just all done and then, you know, there's no more work or anything like that. I want to tell you that is not the case. That is a lie from the enemy. It really is, because in our growing, in this journey of, you know, having things cut off of us and having our wounds healed, we get to know the Lord in a deeper and newer way. And I believe if we just got to the end, we'd miss whole aspects of God that he wanted to reveal to us. That we're only going to know in the darkness. That we're only going to know in those desperate times. That we're only going to know on the mountaintop experiences. That we're only going to know when we see a miracle come where it shouldn't have come from. So if we just ended up at the end, we're going to miss that journey. We're going to miss finding that nature and that love of God that he wants to display. So in Isaiah 32, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but it's kind of one of these prophecies where it kind of has a judgment for Israel, a judgment for Judah. And it ends up coming with a promise in the middle of it. And I kind of want to focus on the promise. Not that judgment isn't bad, because judgment is what brings sometimes the promise. Judgment. Anybody ever been judged by God? Hopefully. Hopefully, if nothing else, you've allowed him to judge you so that you can be released from certain things. I know sometimes I'm guilty of stuff. I was praying the other day, and I just had to bring stuff before the very, very throne room of God, the court of heaven, and just as God was putting things on my heart, I was repenting from them. And repenting just doesn't mean saying I'm sorry. It meant that, Father, I'm gonna change my mind in this area. I'm going to turn from this way of thinking. I'm gonna turn this way from my heart being trapped in a certain fixed mode. And as the Holy Spirit just gave them to me one by one, I just brought them before God's court, you know, because his throne room is a courtroom. And I just said, Father, just release me from these things. And one by one, as I did that, I felt like things just falling off of me. And so I guess I said that just to tell you that, because not necessarily associated with the message. But if we go to verse, let's start at just verse 13, so we get a little bit of a picture. For your land will be overgrown with thorns and briars. Your joyful homes and happy towns will be gone. How's that for a start of a message? The palace and the city will be deserted, and busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic, and flocks will graze in the empty forts and watchtowers. So this is a judgment being spoken over this people right now, and it sounds like it's about to get pretty desperate and dire. Sounds like what was once a lively and robust city is going to be turned into a place where animals start to habitate. And, you know, I don't want to get into the reason why Israel was judged, but believe me, as you read your Bible, say, oh boy, they had that coming. You know, as you read certain things that they continued to do in disobedience to the Lord. But, I always love buts, or how about an until? Until. In other words, judgment's coming. You know, I'm going to be bringing things upon you because of your condition. Because I don't want you to remain in this condition. I don't want you to stay like this. And so I'm going to help the process by evacuating you. They went into exile, making it so that these towns are no longer inhabitable by people. But because of that, I'm going to also open up the door for an until. And I tell you, I've had many untils in my life. You know, go a certain way down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, you just hit, you know, a dead end. Maybe it's from my own decisions, things that I did, you know, things that I said. You know, how many know sometimes there's repercussions for what we do? There's consequences, you know. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, Paul said all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. There's consequences sometimes to our action. You know, is it lawful for you to, you know, tell somebody they're stupid and that you never want to see them again or something like that? Yeah, I mean, you can do that, but it's not beneficial. It's not gonna, it's gonna be creating something sown that you may not want to reap that harvest. Until at last, the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven. Isaiah is putting himself in this place. Until the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven, then the wilderness will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness, and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest. I love that, be at rest. But until the Spirit of God, let me read one more translation because it's the way that I've always remembered it. This is New King James. That was New Living Translation. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. So in other words, something is going to happen where this city is going to bloom again. And this desert place is going to become a fruitful field. And, you know, I've always been looking for this to happen to the body of Christ. Because I felt a lot of times, even like a deserted field that was just, you know, ravished by the wolves of life and the enemy. And I mean, there's times I've prayed this, Lord, let your Spirit be poured out, and let this desert become a fruitful field, you know. And so I'm thinking that something has to take place, that we need to have, you know, like Pentecost over again. We need a second Pentecost is what we need, Lord. That's what we need. We need just as it was in those days, pour out your Spirit in such a way that, you know, you just cover all flesh with the Spirit of God. Anybody else pray that before? Revival? God, what we need is revival. We need something to just take place and change us. And you know what I'm coming to realize? That we're not going to get anything else than what we have now. Because we have everything that we need. All that we need is the blinders removed. All that we need is to remember that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Is, as Glenn prayed at our time when we were getting ready for before worship, the way, the truth, and the life. It is a finished work. And so I think that putting it off into the future, something you've got to do something, God, removes what he's already done. It takes away from the finished work. It means that there's got to be something else that happens because what you've done, well, it was good, but it's just not quite good enough. But that's a lie because it's totally good enough. It's totally enough. It is everything that we need to be just like God. But the problem is the enemy tells us it's not. Life tells us it's not. Circumstances tell us it's not. But they're all a charade. They're all masquerade. They're all smoke and mirrors. The reality, the truth is that we are new creations. We're regenerated. We're brand new. When we receive Christ, we are a brand new existence. We did not exist before. And yet the enemy tells us that, well, you know, you're just getting by. Or life tells us, well, you're just getting by. But it's a lie. We've received that spirit that it's talking about. We are the fruitful field. We are the forest. Nothing else has to happen other than us starting to believe it. The only thing that's keeping us from manifesting a fruitful field and a forest is the way we think. The heart. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that because I told Josh, I think you've got something. And he's like, the heart. He's been sending a bunch of, I don't know if you guys know, but Josh sends out scriptures daily, and they're amazing. He really prays about them, and sometimes he sends the same scripture a few days in a row, but he'll do different translations, and you can tell he's really purposeful in what he's doing. He's not...
Or God is, yeah.
Both, right? Yeah. But anyway, he's been sharing verses on the heart. On the heart. And you know, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, yeah, that's an Old Testament scripture, but it's reality for us today, because if we don't protect our heart, if we don't protect what God's given us to be our leader. You know, the heart is connected with the conscience. The heart is connected with the soul and the mind. I mean, I can't explain it all, but it's outside of our space and time. We've seen some videos that show that it's even you can record it even ahead of time, you know, what it's doing before it comes to your mind. I don't want to show that right now, but it's not normal. It's not what you would call just a natural item. I know we all think, well, our you know, it's just pumps blood, but there's more to our physical heart. It's connected to a spiritual realm at the same time. It's connected to eternity. I've planted eternity in your heart. So if you think about guarding our hearts, you think about protecting our hearts, if you think about renewing these minds, it's all renewing the mind, the heart. And until we do that, we're going to be deserts. We will be the deserts. We will be just as parched as the world. Now, yeah, we'll have a message, but the message has to be backed up with the life. You know, the world is looking for the life, not just the message. For a long time, we've been saying, you know, this. But it's better to live whatever God's doing in us and let that be the message. know, Paul said it this way. He says, you are my epistle written on your hearts and read by all men. In other words, what he poured into them, their lives, as they lived their lives, that was his letter of accommodation. I have one more verse for you, and then I'm going to have Josh share for just a moment. Or a long time, who knows. On the heart. You have a verse for the heart. I know you do. You're taking notes, aren't you? Oh, he's signing up for something. Well, that's good, too. All right, Titus 3:5. Maybe someone else has something to share. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And this word renewing is the same word that's used for the renewing of the mind in Romans 12:2. And we know that the renewing of the mind is a process. But the renewing of the mind produces the fruitful field, family. The renewing of the mind, the renewing of the heart, the guarding ourselves, protecting what we let in and out, allows this bountiful work that God has created to mature and blossom and become a testimony for all. But it's not by any works of righteousness that we've done. That is the key. This is not something we do ourselves. This is not something you hear, well, Pastor Mike says, I got to go, and you just purpose to do all these things because you're setting yourself up for a failure. This is where you rest in the finished work of the cross. This is where you say, Lord, you've done this. Now I receive this. Now I choose to walk in this. Now I choose to appropriate this. I choose to engage with this. And how do you do that? You take a verse like says that you're a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You memorize it and you just say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm a brand new being. That no matter what that mirror says, no matter what the conditions are around me, what I've done or haven't done or has been done to me, I am a new creation. I am brand new. I do not look at what I see with my eyes. I look at what is the truth in the unseen realm. Because in the unseen realm, you know, we're stamped completed. We're stamped finished. And so I choose to look at the finished work of the cross in my life. Not all the things that the cross needs to do to change me. But I choose to look at the finished work. And then let that work bring out the fruitful field that he wants me to be. The restoration that he wants to bring. See, he fully restored you when you received Jesus. Now it's just manifesting that. Releasing that. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what I've got. You have anything, Josh? Okay, Josh has nothing.
And Josh doesn't want to get up and share.
Okay, Josh doesn't want to get up and share. Does anyone else have anything? Anyone?
Anyone.
Or no one?
I do want to say something.
She just said something.
I think that the faith that we have when we first become a Christian, to believe in something that we don't really even know or someone that we don't really even know, is the same faith that we need to have in order to see the finished work in us. And sometimes that is just a choice that we have to make.
That's well said. It is a choice.
And that is, and God himself allows us to choose.
Right.
So it's our choice to either choose the right or the not so right way to go. And sometimes we'll miss the mark, but that's the grace of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and helping us. But I really believe that the faith of salvation is the same faith that we need for our whole Christian walk.
and to see the very end.
And it's been given to us.
It has.
We already have everything we need. Some of us don't like hearing that because we want to come to church and we want the answer, you know. We want him, like I said, to do something because you need to do something. There's nothing wrong with bringing your needs before the Lord. There's nothing wrong with realizing that you need to change. But you can't think that something's going to happen in the future that's going to make it all better because something has already happened. It is finished. He said it so clearly. He didn't say to be continued. Man, Jesus, to be continued. I mean, that just doesn't have the epic ending, does it? It is finished. It is finished. Yeah, are there processes through that finished work? Absolutely. But everything that we need was accomplished in the cross, was released when the Holy Spirit was released. Even the new moves of God, all they are is an expression that was already in the body of Christ. It wasn't new. It was already there. I mean, you can even see moves of the Spirit in the Old Testament that sometimes seem to overshadow what it looks like was happening in the New Testament. I don't remember the Red Sea being parted in the New Testament. Do you guys know about that? Right? Yet the same Spirit is working in the old and the new. We've got the goods. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Got it. Wireless. Oh, not that one. There you go.
This is something we've been singing, to surrender our heart to God and let him do the work. And for the last 2 days, I've been reading a verse of when Jesus was going through transfiguration and he went up in the mountain and he went with his disciples to pray. And he got to a point where he said, God, take this cup away from me. At that time, he had the flesh of man. He was so afraid that he did not want to go through it. But at the end of the day, he said, let your will be done. Mm-hmm. Us as humans, we have the flesh of giving up, of being afraid. We have so many things in our life that make us fear. I have a couple of things that I'm afraid of, and every day I list them down when I'm praying, and I tell God, these are my fears, and this is what I want you to do for me, because I cannot do it without you. And when you were talking and saying that we are changed every day, we are transfigured, we are people of God, we are allowed to be afraid. But what you do with that fear is what is going to determine what kind of a person you are.
Exactly.
If you choose to let God work and let his will be done with your fears, then you are in a safe place. That's what I believe. And even when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, he knew he was going to be denied. He knew that. But he did not go hang himself, did he? Did he go back and do something crazy? No. He went back and asked for forgiveness. God is not asking us to be perfect. Mm-mm. No. We are humans and he knows our fleshes are weak. But he's asking for forgiveness every day. Do you go down and reflect on the things that you've done wrong? Do you go down and ask God for your forgiveness? It can't be forgiving your friend every day. It can't be forgiving some stranger who did something wrong. But at the end of the day, are you willing to show God your fears and letting go of all those fears to his hand? It doesn't mean that tomorrow the fears are going to disappear. But are you working? That's why he said the power of prayer is persistence, consistency. You always have to persist and consist and be precise in what you want. You cannot ask for a plane if you don't have a land to land that plane. You cannot ask for a plane if you don't have the jet fuel. You have to be realistic with your prayers and be persistent with what you're praying for. And if we do that, our fears will definitely go away.
And remember to receive his love, because his perfect love casts out all fear. And so as his love abides and rests in our heart, fear doesn't have a place. Amen. That's good. Don't. pray for a plane if you don't have a landing field? That's really good.
Unless you have a parachute.
Yeah, unless you have a parachute.
And then your plane is only a one-trip plane. Yeah.
Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you guys want to stand. Oh, yes. Thank you. Before I pray, I want to, November 8th, Sunday, is Family Communion. We got to make sure we get to that. No, I'm just kidding. this coming Friday and Saturday is the Women's Conference. And then we want to start putting in the bulletin reminder. Anyone who would like to go on November 15th, is it like the second or third Sunday, or is it kind of move around a little bit when you guys do it for Emerald Care? It's when you guys can get in there, because I know sometimes they have different things going on. But this coming Sunday at 3 p.m., there's going to be an outreach at Emerald Care in the dining room. Emerald Care is a nursing home, and Stephanie is the director of that, and you are a chaplain and also just serve people, right? I mean, you're just an amazing servant. So they've made it so that on Sunday afternoons, once a month, we can go there and we can love on people. So if anyone would like to do that, you can either call this number or you can go talk to Stephanie right now. Raise your hand, Stephanie. And so Barb brought to my attention that, we talk about outreach, and sometimes we forget about, outreach that we're already doing. And so especially when we were talking about the Women's Them Conference, there was a few things on there. So, I said, that's an awesome idea. So we're going to make sure we put this in once a month, and we're going to try to go there next week and see if we can, because it's so easy to get caught up in our own lives. But it's amazing what happens when you start focusing on someone else's life. And, your whole perspective can change. So I encourage anyone who wants to go next week at 3 p.m., okay? And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together. And, Lord, it is an amazing opportunity, Lord, for us to gather as a body. We thank you for your presence, Lord, that's in us and has been with us today. And we pray that as we go, Lord, that we would take not only the message, but, Lord, take your presence and realize that you inhabit us, you dwell in us, Lord, and that even though we're leaving this so-called service, Lord, we're still taking you with us, and we can enjoy you and experience you and hear from you all week, and we can give that to others. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for just being our Savior once again. We're so grateful. We're so appreciative, and we honor, Lord, your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, Jeff, I kept trying to...